Man.
It's official right now. Yo. In 4 minutes or less.
And you.
We gonna crown all of them right now.
This is dedicated.
My mama, your mama.
You. And you.
Your baby's mama's mama's mama.
This is dedicated to you.
Wife.
You.
If you're near a woman right now, wherever you at, just turn to them.
This is dedicated.
You are appreciated.
This is dedicated.
I appreciate your smile.
Thank you.
And the time that you take to carry and birth a child. Play dumb, even when we're living real foul.
Thank you.
And even as a single parent, mama, you still hold it down somehow.
Thank you, mama.
Make them ends meet somehow.
Thank you, mama.
I appreciate your strength.
Thank you.
You never bite your lip, you say what's on your mind.
Thank you. You.
A lady in the street and a freak when it's bedroom time.
Thank you. You.
Gonna grind with me, roll with me, tell me what's yours.
Welcome to Tony Tennant Show, Bipartisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edwards.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions, join in the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today, as usual, COVID-19 community challenges, first part of the show. And then we will talk about women's impact on shaping the world, since this is Women's History Month. You know, wait, you know, Women's History Month gets 31 days. Black History Month gets 28 days. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. Once we get through this, mm-hmm. we'll realize that women have made a lot of contributions to get where we are today, and both black and white. So we can add the women, so Black History will get an extra day or two. You know, you know, sometimes we have to break the ice, you know, before we even get into our show. There's a couple of things that we need to, first of all, send out our condolences to Movita Johnson Harrell and Yancey Sherman Harrell for the loss of their second son to gun violence. That has hit home because we, here at Tone and Tenor, I have been working with the Charles Foundation and Movita and all and the other volunteers since about May, I believe, April or May of this year. And serving over 2,000 folks a month, both in the Norristown, Montgomery County area and the Philadelphia County. And you know, we have to acknowledge her, because as she loses another son to this horrific disease of gun violence, mm-hmm. she still musters the energy, her and her husband, to be out there helping the community and trying to make a difference. And it's time for these organizations that are out here glad handling, grabbing the money and saying, look what I've done with 157 guns off the street here in the city of Philadelphia, and only four of them were actually traceable to something. You know, and it was, she would keep losing as state and city council and all keeps badgering and talking about we need, and folks out there talking about we need to get rid of the DA, the mayor, the police commissioner. It's not about them.
It was appointed, by the way.
But it's not about them. It's about people coming together to solve these problems. Everyone has to come to the table. Has to come to the table. Those of you that are sitting there and getting this money and sitting on Delaware Avenue, Mothers in Charge, not in the community, Father's Day rally, teaming up with Brown ShopRite to give out gift cards, and you look at those guns that are turned in. Some of them are inoperable. Let's start talking about these gun shows around the country. Let's start talking about these when this pandemic hit, as Pat and I rode up and down Ridge Pike going to Montgomery County and watched and saw the lines of folks buying guns. Let's talk about that. Where are those guns today? Two youngsters, teenagers, last night here in the city of Philadelphia, one at night, three on a court or at a rec center, one dead. In Overbrook Park, another youngster, and a bullet went through a window. A window. Had that lady's grandson been in her room, his room at his computer, no telling what would have happened. I don't want to see you state reps. I don't want to see you council people. I don't want to see you sitting up there in front of TV cameras no more. No more talking about enough is enough. Do something about it. I almost had to catch myself. Vito, you almost had to hit that dump button. But it's time for you and it's you folks that look like these black and brown kids that are being harmed to do something. Stop passing the buck. Some of you have been on the ground for over 20 years. It's time for you to be held accountable. And if you don't want to do the job, get the heck out. And people, vote them out. And then to the community. To the community, you have to stand up. But it can't. You can't stand up if you don't trust the people that's supposed to protect you. So all of you got to come to the table to stop and look for real solutions. Not throw money at peace, not guns. That is probably not even a legitimate 501c3. As they turn in guns right there in South Philly, someone's getting shot at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's stop the madness.
Yeah. It was also 2 weeks ago, there was a, in West Philly as well. Fortunately, I know these folks. I'm not going to say the name because they're not comfortable. But basically, their house got shot in, and there were children in the house. You know, that was something that definitely didn't sit well with me.
But Pat, this is not just here in Philly.
No, it's
this is where we live, and it's time for you. The president said something in his little address yesterday, last night. Let's hold him accountable.
Mm. Yeah, but what does that look like if you don't know how?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We
need to have folks bring. Pat, let's start trying to bring people to the table. Let's start calling them out. Bring them to the table. They don't want to come to the table. Let's ask them why.
I got you.
You take over.
I know you need a moment.
Piece because, this has been boiling since last weekend, when we got the news. And then it's been ongoing. By the end of this weekend, we could have reached 100 murders. Yeah. We're at 92, 93 right now.
Yep.
These ATVs, someone had an accident. The guy went back to the ATV and grabbed his gun. Mm-hmm. Broad daylight, Broad Street. You can see City Hall. Mm-hmm. Those folks in the ivory tower looking down, doing nothing. Oh, COVID. This ain't about COVID. This is about real solutions. And those of you that's getting the money, give it the heck back.
So we're going to run through the COVID numbers really quick. So the COVID cases, known COVID cases in the world or internationally, is south of 120 million at 100 million. So, I mean, it's about 100 million cases. There's been 2.6 million deaths and 95 million.
That's worldwide.
Have recovered worldwide.
Right.
So I think that's important to
me. Yeah, our president pulled out his little cheat sheet last night and said, well, we're pushing to 528,000 deaths here in the
I'm getting to United States. The U.S. So we have 29 million cases confirmed. 21 million have recovered. But there's been a half a million deaths. So basically 500,403 plus deaths. And I guess since beginning of this week, 156 new ones, which is crazy. And then we come down to Pennsylvania.
Do we need to go there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's essentially, I mean, it's bad, but I mean, so we have total cases 961,000 plus. The negatives, 3.9 million. And 92% have recovered. So, you know, Pennsylvania looks like we're headed in the right direction as far as, and these numbers came from CNN, Worldometer, Corona Tracker, and Pennsylvania Data.
What's interesting though, Pat, we may be heading in the right direction, but some of these outlying counties are calling on the governor of Pennsylvania, stating that they were overlooked for the way the vaccine has been distributed.
Well, I'll tell you why. And it's funny because I was just on the phone with Dr. Barber, who's a doctor, and she has her MPH. And she basically broke it down like this. There's a lot of rural areas that don't have health offices. So, for example, Delaware County does not have a health office, so there's been some boots on the ground with some state reps that have actually fought to get their folks in Delaware County vaccines. So, you know, hats off to them. But, you know, that is extremely irresponsible on the part of, you know, folks in Delaware County that are in.
Well, not just on the folks in Delaware County, but it's also extremely irresponsible on the.
No, not the people. I'm talking about the people in charge.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Because they have to rely on someone else.
Yeah.
You know, but that's irresponsible on the state health department, and it's irresponsible of the governor of Pennsylvania. That some of these people put him in that position. You know, we can't, you know, I can't sugarcoat this no more. You know, we understand that folks are not getting what they need to get.
Sure.
You know, the president of the United States last night also, I guess, realized it and has been watching the news, because now they're going to send folks and use military, whatever means possible, to get vaccines to these rural areas, plus to these underserved areas. Mm-hmm. We shall see how that plays out. But hats off to those folks that took a stance in the outlying counties in Pennsylvania that are trying to get people vaccinated. You know, that's a good thing. That's a move in the right direction. But if it's happening here in Pennsylvania, it's happening all across this country.
Sure.
So those folks that we elect, hold them accountable, because they know that their area does not get what they're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to, as July 4th, for these small gatherings that the President of the United States said could happen, then folks need to be diligent and let folks know that there are no vaccines in their area and where they are. I know in Delco, where Delaware County, which is one of the problems, they're actually not taking any more appointments until Monday, so that they can get the teachers in, because that's one of the biggest pushes.
Yeah, teachers and first responders.
And first responders.
Because they're still not done with first responders, right.
We're not done with 1A, but May 1st, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, says that all adults 18 and over will be allowed to make appointments for the vaccine. That does not mean you're going to get the vaccine right then and there. That means you're going to be able to make an appointment. And the federal government has stepped in, and they're supposed to utilize a new website to do this, to assist these states. So we'll wait and see.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, so stimulus package.
Yep. Okay, $1,400. Some folks getting $5,600. How many of y'all going to go pay that back rent?
Yeah.
How many of you not going to go and buy those? How many lines are Pat and I going to ride by and see people standing waiting to buy the new sneakers?
Yeah.
How many of you going to be in the malls buying Louis Vuitton?
Who does not care about you, by the way. Because I didn't.
Abercrombie and.
Have you seen Louis Vuitton?
Yeah.
Have you seen Louis Vuitton give any money or any food? Nothing.
No.
Okay.
Let's look at this, folks.
I'm checking.
You know, those are mechanisms in place. You're going to get this stimulus money, but who's benefiting? Look at all the pork that's really in that. And I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying that money is going to come down to these states, and we know that there's accountability and transparency problems. It's going to be time to hold folks accountable, transparent, and God knows how many of them are knowledgeable.
Yeah, don't even give me
credible. It's going to be interesting.
It is.
Because some states still are holding on to money that they got from the first package.
This is very true. So this is what I do agree with some of the Republicans that were kind of kicking up dust. I get what they were saying now. Like, there's literally money that hasn't been spent. And that's a challenge, because if we're pulling for that much money on these following bills or whatever the case is, and some of the things that were snuck in that had nothing to do with, had nothing to do with COVID.
Right.
I think, was it Lindsey Graham? He did a presentation. I mean, again, if you're not emotional about it and you're looking at the facts, right? Facts over feelings, right? You can kind of see what he's saying. So, I mean, I got it, but I get it from the other perspective too, which is, well, you know, while we're here, let's try to fix up some stuff and put some Band-Aids and, you know, let's put up some drywall and some new sheetrock. I get it.
And I do too. Let's give it to the schools. But hey, if you're going to give it to the schools and it's going to be for structure, you know, let's think about this, folks. Here in Philadelphia, they have a person raising money and folks have donated to get asbestos out of some of these schools. Where do we stand? Where is the reports? Where is the report? By law, every 2 years, the school districts have to submit a report to the Department of Education on their health of their buildings.
Which they don't do.
So, and a parent can ask to see that report.
Yep. Or you can file a right to know request.
Yep. I mean,
whichever one comes first.
It's there. I mean, we did a whole show. You can go look for it. If not, I will post the name of the show and what day it was. And we had the experts. This is not me talking. It's not Pat talking. When we talk, we give you the information. We give you the facts.
Yeah.
From the experts.
Do with it what you will.
That's right.
But,
you know, but these are the things that when you look at this COVID American Reform Act, I believe that's the original name. You know, what everybody else calls a stimulus bill, stimulus package. You know, just like the Affordable Care Act, people call it Obamacare. So, you know, everybody has their own buzz names. But it was signed into law by the president, which was supposed to be today, but he signed it yesterday. And now we shall see what we shall see. Now, one thing that I will say, and I want people in the city of Philadelphia to be mindful, the city of Philadelphia may get some of this money handed down by the state, but the mayor of Philadelphia is already saying, and I quote, "We rather raise real estate taxes or property tax than any other tax." Well, what else? What other taxes are there to raise? We failed at liquor by the drink. We failed at the cigarette tax. We failed at the soda tax. We've been raising property tax. And as you keep regentrifying areas, the cost of the house goes up, so which means the property tax is going to go up as well. So why raise something that is going to eventually go up immediately or in the future to cover? Why not cut some of the pork that are in these offices? You know, those folks that you go to pay a bill at City Hall here in Philadelphia during COVID, I can tell it, all the windows, several windows are open, but nobody in the line. And you got to make an appointment to pay a bill. But the windows are open. But pre-COVID, you waited in a line and you only had one window, two open windows open at a time. Mismanagement.
Yeah, that whole fan thing, bro. That all right, let's stop messing with these people. We're going to go to our first.
It's a fan. COVID-19 community challenges. These are challenges.
Though. Like, they really tried it with this fan in the window thing. Like, that's not. No. But it's an airborne. Whatever. Anyway. All right. COVID-19 community challenges. Women's impact on shaping the world. We're going to break.
Something for my godson Elijah and little girl named Corinne. Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. Don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need. And I ain't trying to gas you up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? That when brothers make babies and leave a young mother to be a hat. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edouard. Keep your head up.
Yeah, keep your head up.
Keep your head up.
Our topic today was COVID-19, community challenges, and women's impact on shaping the world. Again, as this is the month of March, celebrates the impact and contributions women have made throughout history in science, politics, law, sports, the arts, entertainment, and many other fields. Mm-hmm. Today, we will discuss the roles of such women, but not limited to. We may not get to all of them, but maybe Elizabeth Stanton, Harriet Tubman, Amelia Earhart, Eleanor Roosevelt, Margaret Thatcher, Rosie the Riviera. Yeah. Betty Friedman, as well as a countless, you know, extraordinary women that earn their place at the table, mm-hmm. and open doors for not only the future women, but society as a whole. Because a lot of women, you know, we always hear the same names over and over and over again, Pat.
Yeah.
You know, but if we, you know, I said it jokingly earlier, but if we go back into history, we will see that women made a big impact.
Yeah, yeah.
A real big, but were not given their just desserts.
Sure. But before we even go that far, I want to start locally and talk about our mamas, right?
I was going to get to that.
We got to start there.
Extraordinary, but see, yeah. They're extraordinary because they're living today. But, you know, I wanted to culminate with that, mm-hmm. you know, because at the end of the day, those are extraordinary women.
Mm-hmm.
Those are those extraordinary women that are trying to raise young men to be, young boys to be men mm-hmm. with no man there, you mm-hmm. know. And no one tells them about these other women in past that have done X, Y, Z.
Sure.
You know, so I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. But if you want to take and we want to go backwards, we can.
Yeah. So, you know, well, I guess we'll start with my mom, work our way back. So Marie Suzelle Noel, my mother, as a lot of y'all know, she died in the late 90s at 47, I believe it was. She was a nurse, a seamstress, an entrepreneur. You know, she held multiple degrees. She spoke six languages. And she definitely pushed us. And one thing I always respected about my mother, no matter what conflict that her and my father had, she never really intervened. She mm-hmm. never interjected in him disciplining us. You know, they might have had conversations afterwards, and same thing vice versa. Anytime she said something, it was law. It was like, what did your mom say? So definitely want to shout her out. You know, my sisters, mm-hmm. you know, my baby sisters, Alana, Jessica, and Ariel. She was supposed to call in, but maybe next show, because we'll probably do some stuff throughout Women's Month. But I wanted to highlight her. You know, she, you know, has been in school for a number of years. She's working on her master's degree in this is like medical policy or I don't know what it's called, you know. But, you know, we always want to acknowledge the struggle of young ladies. You know, she's in her early 30s and still rocking out. And, of course, Mrs. Principe, Mrs. Candida, these are folks that we work with doing the food work and resource gathering and giving out throughout Philadelphia. All those women, Miss Rosie out in with the Norristown Police. So I think it's extremely important for us to acknowledge people.
The women that are here.
The women that are here. Miss Denise, who we worked with early last year. So it's extremely important to acknowledge folks and give them their roses while they're alive. Mm-hmm. You know, former Rep Mo, even though she's going through stuff. I mean, we're talking about somebody who was in trouble, you know, not all the way out in the clear, but still goes out, you know, 2-3 days a week and is helping people. Giving young ladies, trying to get young ladies off the street, get them mm-hmm. off drugs, get them to stop prostituting, you know, and if they don't,
feeding
them, giving them condoms, you know, giving them resources, giving them information, mentoring them. So it's extremely important that we acknowledge them. And of course, Mrs. Jefferson, who makes a mean turkey meatloaf, you know, one of the first black women to be accepted to the University of Penn's nursing program. But, you know, there's some caveats that, so we might have to have her on the show and talk about that. You know, who's definitely stepped in and been, you know, that motherly role for me in the last, you know, year and some change. I didn't realize it, you know, until I was like thinking about it, you know, eating the last piece of meatloaf, right? You don't respect anything till it's the last, right? But, you know, she has been a wealth of knowledge. It's just been awesome, you know, just been awesome. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, but, you know.
She's my mother.
Yeah, you know. I wanted to make sure that we acknowledge those folks first. Laura Lewis, who works here, she's a wealth of information, you know, quick to, if we need a resource or something, pick up the phone and make a call. So I just wanted to say out in the open, I appreciate y'all, you know. Some of my folks that I've worked with for the last couple of months on some projects. Dana, Debbie out in Wilmington, Beatrice, a few people. If I forgot your name, don't charge it to my head, not my heart. But I appreciate all of y'all during this Women's Month, and I'm giving you your roses while you're alive.
Yeah, even a young lady, you know, one of the people that I've met. Matter of fact, during this month, in Orlando during the Steve Harvey mentorship. Jacqueline Means, AKA the STEM Queen, young lady is still.
Oh yeah, she's sharp.
Yeah, she's still out there doing her thing. Went on to become Miss Delaware Outstanding Teen. She's at the University of Delaware, and she's still giving. She's been giving back. Listen to this. She's been volunteering since age 7. Age 7. Mm. Plus has her own program. And continues to be. These are people that we're looking at that are still in the neighborhoods from where they and still part of that, their communities. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people get the notoriety or don't even want the notoriety. You know, we forgot one big one that comes out every week and gives us knowledge. And on Mondays, former council member Janie Blackwell.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, her sister Michelle Forte.
Yeah.
Church Outside, like Sapo, like, you know, really, it's. I think there's so many unsung heroes and people who we forget because we have them, you know. And that just goes for just elders in general,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
we pay homage to all the women that you're making history every day, regardless of whether it's on TV, in the newspapers. You know, if you're doing something positive, you're making and changing a person's life or being a role model, then you are part of history because that person will remember you
sure.
down the line.
Yep. And as we always do with these type of subject matter, you know, I like to throw out random facts, so I'll probably be running them for the next we got about 30 more minutes left. So, you know, Women's History Month was initially just International Women's Day, a day that commemorated the February 28th meeting of socialists and suffragists in Manhattan 1909. All right. So it went from a day to a week to a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on March 8th, 1911, the first International Women's Day was celebrated in Australia, Switzerland, Germany, and Denmark. Though the holiday wasn't widely celebrated in the United States, you know, we were always the last to get it, United Nations began sponsoring it in 1975.
You know, as we talk about women past and present, and again, I jokingly said this, but, you know, when we look at it, even prior to last week or week before, we talked about journalists and broadcasters, mm-hmm. but you don't hear about Ethel Payne. You know, she was a journalist and a civil rights crusader, mm-hmm. and she was the first lady of Black press.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got folks running around that are presidents of this and president of that, but pay homage. These were women that were there before some of these organizations ever got started. You know, I was looking, you were talking about, you know, we had Jane C. Wright. She pioneered chemotherapy. Chemotherapy researcher that saved, you know, before we have what we have today in cancer research,
yep.
there was a Black woman.
Yep.
A woman. I'm not even just a Black woman. Let's say a woman that pioneered this.
Yeah, Henrietta Lacks, you know, who was responsible, who had the DNA to solve, you know, and her family was never paid, by the way. Henrietta Lacks, look her up. I don't remember what decade it is. I guess I can.
You know, and because of of the young lady that pioneered, we ended up with Gwen Ifill. Look, and you turn on your TV now, look at the Black females that are now on throughout the country on TV, on news and journal that are journalists,
mm-hmm.
whether it's print, broadcasting. Or television, or, you know, or even owning media companies. Something that wouldn't have been heard of, but someone had to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women's rights to vote. Think about that. Was it 1909, I believe it was? But folks had to women had to go fight to get the right to vote. And now as we move into 2021, women are becoming the majority voting bloc.
Yep.
For something that they had to fight for. But they believed in it.
Yep. So really just want to give you, because this was a story that somebody told me when I was really young, and it always sat with me. So Henrietta Lacks, spelled L-A-C-K-S, was a mother of five. She visited Johns Hopkins Hospital, because she was bleeding. But upon examination, the renowned gynecologist, Dr. Howard Jones, discovered a large malignant tumor in her cervix. At the time, Johns Hopkins was one of the few American hospitals to treat poor African Americans. And as medical records show, Mrs. Lacks began undergoing radium treatments for her cervical cancer. This was the best medical treatment at the time for such a really terrible disease. But what ended up happening, they immortalized her cells, and they're called the HeLa cells.
Mm-hmm.
The HeLa cells. So you definitely want to check that out. But she passed away at age 31, which is extremely, really young, in October of 1951. So, yeah, she is responsible for the HeLa cells, which is used today.
Mm. And think about it, even today, when you look at, if we want to talk politics in Congress, there's about 127 women that years and years and years ago you would never have thought of. That's still, when you think about it, 127 women
mm-hmm.
out of 535.
That's pretty amazing.
You look at these numbers, and you think about it, yeah, women have moved and influenced and shaped, whether it's here in the United States, shaped the world.
Sure.
Made a difference. Some have even had their lives threatened, have been exiled from their country because they took a stance on what they felt was right, not just for themselves, not just for women. And then we have to keep saying this. It's because these women affected the lives of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the woman in general, but think about it. They affected the lives of everyone. Just like your mother affects your life every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a bigger scale. So we have to always look at this and realize, though not given the accolades, you don't hear the names, you hear a few of them, but they have taken the bull by the horn. Here in Philadelphia, Dr. Stanton took the bull by the horn and formed the Black Doctors Consortium so that the least of us could be vaccinated.
Yeah, with her own money.
With her own $50,000. And yet and still, when it came down to it, Philly COVID Philly, I can't remember, at the end of the report, the young white gentleman did nothing wrong. But yet and still, if they did nothing wrong, why did a woman took the fall for the city of Philadelphia, the deputy commissioner, and resigned. Not the male, the woman.
Food for thought. So some other facts. As of 2020, per CAWP research, there are 1,621 mayors in the U.S. with populations over 30,000 people that are women. And unfortunately, I'm not going to read off that many. But, you know, we'll go with like the top 5 or 10. So we got Lori Lightfoot in Chicago, right? Population of over 2 million. Katie Gallego in Phoenix with over 1 million. Fort Worth, Betsy Price with roughly a little under 910,000 people. Charlotte, V. Alexander Lyles. San Francisco, London N. Breed. Seattle, Jenny A. Durkin. Washington, the infamous Muriel Bowser. Las Vegas, Carolyn
Who
G.
has
Goodman.
Ties to Philadelphia.
Yeah. And we'll round it off with Tucson with Regina Romero and Atlanta with Keisha Lance Bottoms, who's also infamous for being outspoken.
But these are women that, you know, that are making a difference or are attempting. And but yet and still, as women move forward in different roles, groundwork was laid by women of the past.
Absolutely.
So that they could get where they are today. And, you know, we need to stop you know, looking for weaknesses and start embracing one another. Whether it's male, female, embracing. You know, it's always easier to pass the buck and pass the blame. But if you're not sitting in their chairs, and I know I'm not a woman, and Pat, you're not a woman, you don't know what the encounter, other types of encounters they may have.
Yeah.
Because they are, yeah. Think about it, most of these women in the past were managers. And today are still managers because not only are they managing their cities, managing their causes, but some have to manage a family. They have their children, you know, and they have to deal with difficulties of others.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that said, I guess we'll take another break and we'll you're listening to Tone the Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our topic today, COVID-19 community challenges, women's impact on shaping the world.
Here's another one. And another one. Yeah. From Little Kim, the Queen Bee.
It's Ladies Night, what? It must be Angie on the mic. The butter pea, honey, got the sugar, got the spice. Roll the L's tight. Keep the rhymes right, y'all. I just made this motherfucker up last night. And I'm the rookie on this all-star team. Me and Kim is getting cream. Like Thelma and Louise, but on chrome. Never leave that Brooklyn shit alone. So if you say it's on, then it's on.
Bang this in your whips. Back from Cody Rhodey with the chips in the wrist. Here's a French kiss. I dismiss all you chicks. Spit six from the fourth, fifth. Make it dance. Ow! I stay focused and the dopest. Like a penny with a hole in it. Y'all just hopeless and topless. I ain't lying. Trying to knock me off. Keep trying. All it takes is one phone call to my street team. Promote that ass like a soundtrack. You jack. Sit there. Send it off with the 850. Y'all missing the buck with the bump. Biggie in the truck. In the buck to my double. Let me see you do the bank head if you're riches. It's the rap made west, the QB.
And I got all my sisters with me.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward. And real quick, I wanted to acknowledge somebody that we lost. Unfortunately, today another library has burned down. Sister Eula Helen Vaughn. Sister Eula Helen Vaughn. I believe she was laid to rest today. Just popped up in my feed and I missed it. So I will reach out to the family. We appreciate you and your contributions to Philadelphia.
We're losing a lot of folks, a lot of good folks. So Pat, when we think about, you know, I thought about this earlier today, and you know, as we ride through our cities and our across the country, our states, and even our, and we look at our places of higher learning. Think about this. How many of them are named after women? How many of our elementary schools are named after women? How many of our high schools are named after women?
Not that many, I imagine. Right. That's a great question.
But women, if research is done, has made a heck of a lot of contribution to...
Especially before Brown versus Board of Education.
To getting our young people, and, you know, not saying they need to be named after a woman, you know, but it's something. These are things that are food for thought when you, that you may not think about in your everyday life, because you're still trying to balance where I'm going to get my next meal from, how I'm going to feed my children. Some women are doing balancing, and they're being the home manager.
Yep. Speaking of schools, you know, shout out to most of my female teachers that were awesome. Mrs. Harris, math teacher in middle school. Miss Jackson.
Oh, you had a Miss Jackson?
English, yeah.
Yeah, our Miss Jackson at University City drove a Corvette.
She was actually hot. I actually did well in her class, but I'm a lot older now, so I could say that. But yeah, all the guys definitely paid attention in her class. We had
was she a math teacher?
No, she was English and English social studies and something else. I had another. I think she taught English and math. Miss Ferrer. She was hot too. And when I was in ninth. No, I was in 10th grade when I moved to Florida.
You're going to end up just like Governor Cuomo. You keep that up.
That ain't going to happen because I'm not. I don't compliment. I'm saying this in the open where everybody can't be misconstrued or misinterpreted. So it's just like the young lady who was in Atlanta. Remember there was like this Twitter and this Instagram battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's fine. But them little boys go pay attention. I can tell you that. Right now, I bet you little Jabal probably has an A in her class. You know, sometimes aesthetics does help. You know, let's just keep it real. Coach Ganea, from when I went to Southwest, Mrs. Alvarez, my geometry teacher, who used to give me a hard time. Mrs. Green, my algebra teacher, who was an excellent, you know, I didn't understand algebra until I got to her class, you know, after flunking it the first time. So I appreciate those women teachers, they just made a huge difference, you know, huge difference.
Mm.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
No complaints here, man.
Yeah. So through, you know, that's why, you know, we talk of history, you know, think about Mother Teresa changed the world. You know, household name, whether you're religious or not.
Yep, you know who she is.
Whether you were Catholic or not, you knew of her work. You knew of her missionaries of charity, you know, and how she worked with those in poverty, you know, and the poorest of the poorest of the people. So when we talk about poor, we talk about here in the United States, when you turn on the TV and look at other countries, third world countries, there are some that are worse off than we are.
Oh yeah, we have our problems, but listen, this is one of the things that kind of bothers me, like that people don't understand. We're one of the only countries where you can be fat and have cable. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you could be homeless, or you could be like literally like, you know, you may not be working, but we have a lot of social constructs that kind of keep us rolling. I mean, think about a country that doesn't have unemployment or doesn't have social security, or, you know, or you're in a caste system where you're literally stuck. Whatever you're supposed to be as a kid, that's it. Right. So if your granddaddy was a shoemaker, your dad was a shoemaker, you got to be a shoemaker. Right. You can change the narrative. This is a country where, you know, if you have the right mentorship, right, and the right guidance, because, you know, you might figure it out later in life. But, you know, you can decide not to go that way or go to school to be an entrepreneur or go get a trade or something else.
But you have the opportunity to go to a university, not be on a waiting list, you know, and to do things. Why do you think that folks years and years and years and years ago wanted to come to, this was at their will, not the ones that came, not at their own free will, came to the country because they saw, as they call America, the land of opportunity.
Sure. Sure. You know,
so again, opportunity existed because of those four mothers and four women. And you know, I'm not going to say four fathers because we're talking about women.
Yeah.
That made sacrifices. You know, look at it. When you turn on an old Western, you know, think about that. Who do you see making sure if it's a, if the sheriff comes in and makes sure the sheriff's well taken care of, so take fed and he gets on his way so that he can go do his job, do what he needs to do. You know, right here in Philadelphia, you know, most people know that I'm an Episcopalian. Those that don't know, yes, I'm an Episcopalian. If it wasn't for a man, Father Paul Washington, the doors for women bishops or women priests, period, would not have been opened. He took a stance against the church. But now it's time for these women that are now have been, Barbara Harris was one of those seven women that were consecrated on that day. Those of you that are priest, so-called priest, deacons, you ride on the shoulders of women that wanted to make a difference. And you need to step up and stop playing at church for your own personal gains.
Yeah. I got another quick fun fact. So, women have been elected to the House of Representatives in 46 out of 50 states. 46 out of 50 states. Alaska, Mississippi, North Dakota, and Vermont haven't had, even though I think what Alaska, Mississippi, North Dakota have elected women to the Senate, but not to Congress.
Yeah, but they have, but Alaska had Sarah Palin ran for vice president.
Yeah. We try to forget. So in total,
she's still a woman.
So in total, I mean, I don't have a problem with her, but she's interesting. So in total, 345 women have served as a representative in the USA House, and seven more of them have served as non-voting delegates.
So that would be Puerto Rico. That would be the Virgin Islands. Those territories. Mm-hmm. That would be, I don't think D.C. has, yeah, I think D.C. has one. These are those folks that are allowed to come to meetings, but not allowed to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's like being able to come to dinner, but you don't get no dessert and everybody eating ice cream in front of you or like pie a la mode or something. You know what I mean?
When I say vote, they can vote in committee.
But they can't vote in the
general.
Correct.
General, when the bill is actually ready to be voted upon.
Correct.
So, you know, think about it. You know, you got powerful women sitting in positions that can make their voice be heard for their territories. But when it comes to make that overall difference, they don't have a say.
Nope, unfortunately.
They don't have that seat that they're fellow women have at the table. So women, you know, there's something that may need to be changed when you think about it. You know, and there's a lot that needs to be changed. This is not politics, but, you know, I have a whole list that needs to be changed. And some of these antiquated, outdated, cobwebbed, covered laws need to be changed, and I think I hate to say it, it's going to take some of these women that's going to actually make that difference, because these men are stuck in their old ways because they've been there too long.
Yeah, well, again, the world is changing. We're in the age of information, so you know, at this point in time, knowledge is not power, information is. So if you want to continue to keep playing the cognitive dissonance game, again, you're going to be in a position where you're going to run with us or you're going to run from us. It looks like we're up. We're at the clock again. Any final thoughts?
The only thing, again, keep every woman, every family in your prayers that has lost someone to the senseless gun violence, to COVID-19, to drug addiction. You know, our good friends will be here talking about from clean and sober, talking about those things. But keep women, keep them, because women are strong. You know, they always are resilient. They bounce back. Mm-hmm. But keep them in their prayers and always uplift them, because they have a lot to carry, a lot of burdens to carry.
Yep. I was just talking with somebody about that earlier today, who's in the media business, and just, you know, we're always quick to attack folks before we actually see what the issue is.
Well,
yep.
We want to thank our engineer today, Mr. Mike Vito. Thank you very much.
Vito.
You know, if you listeners, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. Again, thank you, Mr. Vito, our studio engineer, for another great show. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edouard. Thank you for listening to the Tone and Tenor Bipartisan Voice of the People radio show here on WWDB 860 AM out of Philadelphia. We will see you next week. For the other.